and a very good Sunday morning. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also want to encourage you to watch our TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel Number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You'll find all of these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find our TV videos there and also a host of other Bible-related material. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. We also want to invite you to our period of Bible study and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and those times will be given at the end of this broadcast. We cordially invite you to any or all of our services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way, we bid you to come and be with us. We are examining the text of 1 Peter. We now begin today 1 Peter chapter 2. In this lesson, we're going to talk about things that we need to shun and some things that we need to get rid of. We need to shun some things in our lives. And it all begins with a throw attitude of throwing away some of our attitude and growing up. Attitude is the center of all we are and all we do. The greatest hindrance sometimes to our lives are our attitudes. To get different results, we need to change our attitude. Thus, when we have a problem, we would do well to check our attitude before we look at the problem. Well, let us read the text that we have for today, and we will see that the Apostle Peter tells us some things that will help us if we shun some things in changing our attitude. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In our text, it tells us things to shun. I like the title, Throw Your Attitude Away and Grow Up. Illustration, a child comes into the room with a sour disposition. We may say, go back and leave your attitude outside the door and then come back in. In this section, it follows a discussion of being holy. Thus, the responsibilities of being holy can be demonstrated by shunning and getting rid of some things that can change our attitude and change our conduct as God's children. Do you need to throw your attitude away? What do we mean by throwing your attitude away? Throwing unneeded, worthless things away is one of the greatest privileges of man. Imagine if we couldn't get rid of the things that are worthless and are unneeded. Laying aside, that alludes to putting off something, to get rid of it. You know, like old rotten garments are thrown away. Or strip off, Barclay says it means to strip away. Romans chapter 13, verse 12, and also Colossians 3, verse 8 to the following verses in the chapter, teaches us that we have to change our conduct. We have to change the way that we do things. A definite, decisive act, so pronounced, it has no need of repeating. We get rid of something and we don't bring it back in. Separation, we put it away from us. That's how the American Standard Version rends these verses. Wood relates that it was traditional in the early days of the church for one being baptized to cast off old clothes and put on new ones, symbolizing the new life that they have in Christ. What must be thrown away? Everyone contrasted to love. Everyone needs to throw away some things. Thus, it relates to our dealing with others and our dealings with people. But in this text, it tells us some things that we need to shun and we need to get rid of. First of all, it relates to malice. It can mean either in a broad sense, evil or wickedness, or in a special sense, it can mean evil disposition, maliciousness, ill will, desire to injure someone, and it is correct opposite of love. In a specific sense, it can mean in the context of other sins. Attitude that leads to other things in this context will lead us further into sin and separate us from God. All guile, that's translated deceit in the NIV. Barclay sees it means to be two-faced. It includes lying, half-truth, flattery. Henry says it imposes upon another's ignorance to do his damage. The motive is not pure, therefore unacceptable to God. So we have to lay aside all guile. All hypocrisy conceals his real motive and his malice. We must be genuine. We must be real. Act. We're playing a part. We're acting. We're not telling the truth. We're not being forthcoming. Professes to be a Christian and loves you, but only for his own profit. That's hypocrisy. And God will not accept a person who is a hypocrite. All envy, feelings of unhappiness at another, what he has and what you don't have. Envy puts power and force into malice. It puts drive into ill will and hatred for another. All even speaking, slander of any kind, fruit of malice and envy, used in backbiting and whispering. And all sin, principles apply to others. If not, why not? You see, we have to get rid of all these things. We've got to throw away any attitudes and any actions that will lead us into these sins, because what it will do, it will cause us not to be effective as being God's examples and influences for good. These sins relate and fit together. It will lead to envy and deceit and lead to slander that leads to hypocrisy, that leads to conceal our true motives and our true actions. Why do we need to throw them away? That's very simple. Because we've been born again. Therefore, it points to the change that we talked about when we talked about the incorruptible seed in 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. We began a new life. Shall we abound in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Romans 6 and verse 2. We're in a new life. Read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It's inconsistent with love. Therefore, it points back to chapter 1, verse 22. We can't love our brethren and speak evil at the same time. That's hypocrisy, and that is going to be unacceptable to God. And so it's necessary for us to grow up. The instruction is to put away and to grow. It's inconsistent with growth to allow these things to still permeate our lives. We can't grow with sin holding us back. We can't go forward when we're regressing or when we're continuing to wallow in the pit of sin. We need to grow up. What's that mean? That means that we need to grow and to mature. That should be our aim. The more and more pleasing we are to God, the better equipped we'll be in order to be examples to others. Mature in dealing with others. More love in the relationships that we have will be improved. Stronger, our faith will be stronger. Our commitment to God will be deeper. And to accomplish that, we must have an aim. Too many Christians come from the waters of baptism with no aim, no direction, no focus, no goal. And they don't know why they don't grow, because they don't plan to grow. They don't have a plan. The agency of doing this is through the Word. The milk can be basic in contrast to meat. More likely here, it emphasizes the source of nourishment that is needed. It's the milk of the Word. It is the knowledge that is contained in the gospel that can cause us to grow. It's pure, it's sincere, it's without guile, unadulterated. This word describes that it's free from chaff, thus it's not mixed with anything from man. Here is the danger of uncertain sounds, truth preached with little or no concern with what it's mixed with. Read, sound doctrine is what we must have. Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine, wholesome doctrine. It's pure, and it comes from God. Of the word, a question of translations of logos. There's three possibilities here. Spiritual, the American Standard Version says. Reasonable, it's the intelligence of the mind. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 12. And of the word in the context, as we studied last week in chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Our attitude should be we desire as babes. We're new Christians. We need to crave for an appetite of spiritual food. You were not born to like the food that you like today. I like pizza. I wasn't born with a pizza in my hand. I grew to develop an appetite and a desire for that. You have to have that same craving and appetite for spiritual food, and that can only be given and only be solved and appreciated by the Word of God. As an intense baby craves its milk, not to have to urge and admonish the baby to seek its source of life. They want it. You don't have to be They don't have to be convinced they need it. They desire it. They go after it. So we need the sincere milk of the word that we might grow. And the appeal is it tasted that the Lord is good. Again, once it's tasted, we will see the desire to have more. We will see the benefit in it, and we will want more, and we will taste more because we will continue, look, and meditate upon that word. The Lord is good, and he's gracious. Kindness of God is not an excuse for slothfulness, but of the greatest of all incentives. If you are harboring some of the attitudes Peter discusses here, for yourself or for others, of bitterness, hatred, ill will, or envy that leads to deceit and gossip, you may cover it up with hypocrisy, but it's high time that you throw it away and you grow up, that you mature in your life in Christ. The principle is true of any sin. For Christians who pull back, or the non-Christian who's never obeyed, you're going to have to get rid of some things if you're going to come to Christ. Now let us go back for a moment in the closing few minutes that we have here and understand that we need to lay aside. We need to get rid of some things if we're going to be successful in being a child of God. These kind of attitudes are unacceptable in your life to Christ. You can't have deceit. You can't have malice. You can't be a hypocrite. You can't have evil. You can't have envy for others. You can't evil speak against them. And you must have an appetite and desire for spiritual food that will cause you to grow and will cause you to mature in Christ and will cause you to be the example and the influence for good that God calls upon us to do as his children. We're the salt and the light of the earth in Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. We are to exemplify in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, the believer in the way that we conduct our lives. We are to be an example to the believer. We are to be examples and influences, but we cannot if we continue carrying on the old man. Let me leave you this morning with this particular statement made by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the body, on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because these things, the wrath of God is coming on the child of disobedience. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 6. You have to get rid of these kind of characteristics in order to be the kind of a people that's going to be effective in carrying God's word to the lost and dying in sin. These attitudes must be changed. They must be shunned away, and they must be thrown away, and we must begin the growing process of growing spiritually and growing in Christ. Dear listener, are you growing in Christ? Do you have a spiritual appetite for the Word of God? Do you desire truth and nothing but the truth? And are you growing and maturing in your life in Christ? And have you shunned and thrown away these attitudes that will put you at odds with God and make you ineffective as being one of his children? Shun, throw away these attitudes, grow up in Christ. That's Peter's advice, and it is very good. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.